I have requested Romans chapter 5. My question, I don't know if that answers your question. It wasn't to delete chapter 5, it was to delete clauses 11 and 12. There were four things there to do. Delete 11 and 12, national interest and commercial interest. On the same, now we left with a heading in chapter 5. Is there any significance there?
Thank you. That's why we deleted that heading, because now it will not refer to anything unless you want to replace it with something else. Otherwise, now a heading on its own.
I'm talking on page 22, the heading isn't deleted. Mm-hmm. On page 22, after you delete clauses 11 and 12, you're still left with the heading. Information which requires protection against disclosure.
When I was reading Jefferson, I said the entire chapter is deleted. It may not show here, but I said, because I saw it is not highlighted as well, but I said it.
Fine, one of the ones.
Chair, having deleted 7 and 12, whether anything comes in there. And it may well be that what we put in there needs the heading, or we may need a different heading to what is there now. And I think the drafters simply acted according to our instructions and deleted clauses 11 and 12 in the heading. It's for us to instruct them. Should they remove the headings as well as the chapter? We didn't give them that instruction. We said clause 11 and clause 12 must be deleted. That's as far as our instructions went.
Yeah, I agree. It's a structural issue. Once we, at the end of the day, decided what we're keeping in the bill, then we can look at how it reads. We might want to have an introductory clause or something like that there. We might want to shift chapters around. So I think we should leave it blank at this stage, as you suggest. That chapter, that whole heading, is irrelevant, but something can come into it at a later stage.
So it's only logical that it gets deleted along with its content, so let's delete that. May I go to the
I don't think that there's consensus. I think the honourable members are saying that there's no rush to delete it. But there might be a reason for us to include something there at some stage or another. So it might well be that we'll delete it later, but there's no rush to delete it. Now, I think that's what I'm getting from the honourable members.
May I continue to sit on 2:15? It is the case that the honourable mentor yesterday asked for consideration of inclusion of reference to the protected disclosure. However, could I suggest that we leave this as is for now and come back to it? Because it actually doesn't read too badly as it stands. It would encompass protected disclosure. However, we may decide later that we emphatically want specific reference. But I think it's all right for now. Other things that we will wish to do 38 later.
Of having deleted everything that that refers to national interest in the home state. I know we are saying that for now there might be things in chapter 5 that we might need to protect. But I just want to know if international best practice, is it that bad to refer to national interest? Because I am not disputing the fact that it should be deleted in 11 and 12. But we might need to to check whether in every part of the bill where national interest reflected, it was essential to delete that.
I think the thinking and the motivation at the time, which was also something that the minister appeared to agree with, was that what came out of the public hearings is that the definition of national interest was far too wide. It just about didn't amount to anything. And that that definition should be reduced to something that is more manageable, that is more something that we can legislate. Because when you start to define what the national interest was, that's where the problem was. The definition was beginning to look too wide. And I think in the public hearings, what we came across in the public hearings, that there was a lot of discomfort and a lot of presenters were against the definition. I think the minister, he also conceded that perhaps including the national interest in the bill instead of restricting it to something like national security, which is much more manageable and serve this type of legislation. I think that was the thinking that got the minister to concede also that the national security is. But I take the point that you're making, Honourable Member, because I think the question you're asking, is there no case where the national interest can be considered? And I think as we go along, maybe that's something that might come up again. But I think for the time being, there's been that consideration that those definitions, as they stood in the bill, originally was far too wide. Did I see your hand, Honourable Member?
Underscore where we
success achieved, the progress made by adjourning to tomorrow.
The Honourable
I would like to also say that the Honourable Lander addresses us on his document now. If, would you not like to do that? This is now the first ANC amendment we've seen. And since yesterday, the DA, Party, and also Dr. Ambusini, notwithstanding the fact that he hasn't drafted, we all gave you a sweep of our views on this, on what should be done with the bill. Would the Honourable Landers not favour us with a discussion of this document?
I thought I'd done that yesterday. But in your hands, Honourable Landers, I don't know you. I don't want the members to instruct members, you see, but if you are amenable, then we can have a short session where perhaps you can run us through some of the highlighted issues in your document. I think the document speaks for itself, but there can be nothing wrong if you choose to take us through some of the issues again. I think we covered the national interest and commercial. I don't think you need to repeat those things. They are some issues I think that you can just run through the train.
But one issue that there seems a lot of consensus almost from my quick reading of the document is the definition of national security. From initial, and we're all very close with our definitions on that. And that might be an avenue that you might get consensus quite quickly on as well. Thank you, Jim.
Honourable one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I won't deal with clauses 11 and 12 for obvious reasons. Chairperson, we begin where you asked us to begin yesterday, which was with a short title. We remain convinced that the short title should be amended to read the Protection of State Information Law for the reason that I've set out there, differentiate between this bill and the one that is firmly before the Justice Portfolio Committee. It also aligns the bill with its memorandum of objectives, which reads as follows. Protection of Information Bill will ensure a coherent approach to the protection of state information. That's in the memorandum of objectives on page 26 of the bill. Chairperson Steve Swart has alluded to definition of national security. As I said yesterday, we believe that this definition must be crisp, clear, and narrowly focused. We must address legitimate national security issues that can justify the limitation of rights of access to information and freedom of expression, which limitation is found in our Constitution. We then seek set out a definition which we believe will be acceptable to this committee. And it deals with issues like the use of the threat of force, the capacity of the Republic to respond to the use of the threat of force, acts of hostile acts of foreign intervention, terrorism, espionage, information peddling, sabotage, and violence. And we go on to say whether these acts are committed from or within the Republic or not, and included the carrying out of the Republic's responsibility in foreign countries, and the spelling error there, it should read international organizations. The country signs a slew of conventions and agreements, and we must always be mindful of those. So that would be our proposal for the definition of national security. Chairperson, as you know, in wearing the other hat,
is this intervention necessary or not?
I think
political question to ask about this definition. But apart from that, it may very well, it sounds a lot to me like Steve's one definition and not very different from ours. I mean, we could progress to consensus on this, but I have one concern. That's the only reason I ask why, whether I could ask the question now.
That question, honourable member.
Whether you would not remove peddling, and if would you explain to us what peddling is? I know what the ANC understands by it, but how would you define such a phenomenon? If you were willing to take off peddling there, then I think the definition.
Well, from our own experience as members of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, it would be extremely difficult for us to agree to the removal of information peddling. It is a phenomenon that has caused enormous damage to the country. There is the view that, and we've heard David Mania explain this view that, well, you know, why do they believe these people? But it goes beyond intelligence operatives within this country. There is a country that arrested a very senior elected public representative. On the basis of information received from information peddlers in South Africa, that case is before the courts of that country. And our, I tend to say foreign affairs department, it's international relations department, is busy trying to put out fires that every now and again pop up as a result of that. So it's not a minor matter. I understand if people who haven't experienced the way we have dismiss it as being a storm in the teacup, it's far more than that for us. So I regret to say, Chair, we are committed to information peddling staying in the definition and being an integral part of this role.
Would you not consider, however, you know, that's not legal language. I mean, if you had to reduce that to legal language, what would you, what is it? The furnishing of false information. And isn't that, well, what sort of thing is this? You know, what sort of thing is this?
Honourable members, okay, the question has been asked. I don't think it needs to be. Let me just hear the honourable mentor first.
So I think we know that peddle information is to propagate false information deliberately. So I don't, you know, that's why I was of the thought that we should present, they should present and then we engage them. We might get boxed down with arguing on semantics. So if there is a concept that's legal somewhere that is exactly equal to peddling, Honourable Smart might propose that and we will engage her to check whether it exactly fits it. But I'm scared that we are going to be boxed down on semantics. It would be desirable if a presentation is done and then engaged after a presentation. But peddling means propagating false information.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unfortunately, we are engaged in the drafting of a law. We must concern ourselves with the legality. And my concern, and this is, I accept it, it's one of the most difficult challenges in the drafting of the bill. My concern is to avoid having definitions which are broad enough to make national security possibly everything. It has happened. If one looks at what happened in the United States with the Patriot Act, where the definition of terrorist includes any action which breaches the law and threatens life. So my reckless driving is terrorist. And my wife would agree with that. But so, and we are dealing in this definition with And this is difficult. I mean, I'm not ascribing intention to the honorable proponent, just acknowledging the difficulties that he has in capturing the undefinable, because obviously the national security of the country deals with violence, deals with sabotage, but obviously domestic violence doesn't threaten national security, nor does the violence that takes place in all the crimes of violence. And the same thing with information peddling, which is not a legal term, at least known to me. And it could go from glorified gossiping to a campaign of misinformation. So while one appreciates what has been trying to capture here, I think we need to engage in tying the language. And again, if we are to err, let's err on the side of not including things rather than having very broad definitions which may undermine the freedom of circulation of information.
Honourable members, I think it's a matter we're going to have to leave. I'll get back to you, Honourable Lawless. But allow me to say that because this item appeared in the bill, and because this is not your normal language, and because this phenomena surfaced in the intelligence community and environment, and because members of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence was more familiar with the phenomenon and the people than other members of other committees, I specifically requested the Honourable Minister to come and present to the committee, because this was in the bill, a whole presentation on information peddlers. Yes. And I know the members that are now asking the questions were not on the committee at the time. If you had been there, you would have seen visually, it was a PowerPoint presentation on all these people, all without naming them, what they've done, the disturbance that they have caused, particularly in the SADC area, and the fact that it's become a real crisis now, and one of the issues that has led to it coming up in the bill now. So perhaps the wording is not familiar, perhaps has not been properly defined yet, but I think I don't think it's going to help us now to call the minister back to present, because there was a whole issue about whether the meeting should be closed and whether the meeting, then it was that meeting, and eventually it was agreed that the minister would present in an open meeting, but that the document would not be distributed. So it was that. It was a specific request on my part, because I felt that members of the committee was not familiar, those members that had not served in the intelligence committee was not going to be familiar with the terminology and understand. It was to bring them on board that they understand what it was that we were legislating against. And I think perhaps for those members that are now not sure, we might have to find a way of bringing you on board that you can actually understand what it is. It's not a dream. It's not a fantasy that the country is trying to protect itself against. It's a real danger. And if you just take yourself back to the Brasnol report that leaked through the DSO, it was very public. You would understand what we're talking about. If you know the consequences of that document, what happened after the document was leaked, the problems that our government had in the SADC area, you would really understand what we're talking about. That document that really alleged a whole lot of very nasty things, and as a consequence, our government suffered very heavy prejudice. So I think it's that honourable members that are not familiar with the phenomenon, perhaps we need to arrange that you become familiar with the phenomenon, that you can actually understand that it's not I don't think it's an ANC thing. I think it's really one of the issues that go down to national security. And I can understand that the Honourable Smuts is perhaps not familiar with the terminology. It sounds very colloquial, peddling. It doesn't sound scientific, and it doesn't sound like something that should come up in the bill. But if the terminology needs to be in the intelligence community, that is what the people are known as.
I express my appreciation for your willingness to inform me about it, but I think the easy way, and I can't expect official information, the easy way to do it is to write a definition which will be required for Section 1, and your definition must make it clear what it is you're talking about. And that will either persuade me or not, but in the meantime we don't therefore have consensus on it. Thank you.
I think that is. I think what you were trying to say, there might be consensus, but I think the process was useful because we now find we don't have, and so the Honourable Lawrence will proceed.
Well, just while you have been talking, I've been writing, scribbling, propagating a false information with the intention to cause serious damage or harm to the national security of the Republic. Just off the top of my head. But a clearer definition will be provided at a later stage. Then chapter 2 and 3, Jefferson, I think we've dealt with this. We have proposed yesterday that needs to be deleted. That where relevant, certain clauses remain part of the regulations. And then we go on to say that we need to provide for a section that caters for information that needs to be safeguarded on the basis of national security and should include the following. Protection of legitimate national intelligence structures and sources, their legitimate operational methods, doctrines, facilities, and personnel, sensitive confidences in international relations, ongoing investigations of state security structures, details of criminal investigations and legitimate police and law enforcement methods, economic, scientific or technological secrets vital to the Republic's stability, security, integrity and development. Chapter 5, Chairperson, dealt with.
Honourable Member, I think let's do the Honourable Lawrence because then we can manage the time much better.
Am I okay, Chair? All right. And then we go on. Yesterday I said delete. I retract the deletion. We say these must be reviewed and amended. That is chapters 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 12, 13. I'll deal with each one individually, Chairperson. Clause 16 authorizes the head of an organ of state to classify information, and as I pointed out yesterday, we're uncomfortable with the apparent ease with which that authority can be delegated, apparently without constraint, in terms of the bill at the moment. We would like to see that the level to which this delegation can be made must be restricted to a level not lower than Deputy Director General or the equivalent thereof. This will address the situation where the General Manager of the Alcoa Bus Company is committed to classify information. Clause 22, Chairperson, provides for the regular reviews of classified information, saying that this process of review must be subject to the criteria for continued classification, and the bill must ensure clarity of theory requisites. Clause 25 provides for an appeal procedure where a request for a review has been denied. It is saying that any person who was involved in that classification process should not be part of that appeal procedure. We also propose that the minister must be authorized to establish mechanisms to assist him or her with both the review and appeal processes. And so this clause must be amended to provide for this. Please note, I've not said anything about a judge. We then go on to say that the bill should be clearly aligned with the Protective Disclosures Act, Companies Act, and other law that serve to protect whistleblowers. Clause 38 of the bill ostensibly seeks to provide for that alignment. However, we feel that in its current form, that is inadequate and must be strengthened to achieve this end. Clause 42 provides that improper classification and the abuse of the classification is an offence punishable with imprisonment for a period not exceeding 3 years, which is inadequate and inappropriate when measured against the penalties provided in other clauses. For example, Clause 42 provides for a 15-year sentence for the unauthorized disclosure of classified information. So we're proposing that that this clause, not Clause 42, that it be amended to reflect this even approach. That my clause is all mixed up, I do apologize to you. 43. Yeah. Then we go on to say that the classification process set out in Chapter 6 must be subject to a two-part test. Namely, first, there must be a clear, justifiable, and legitimate need to classify. Second, there must be a demonstrable need to protect such information once it is classified. This two-part test must be provided for in the new Chapter 3 as a means for the dissemination of sensitive information. This test will be followed by the determination of the classification level already provided for. And then finally, Chairperson, we make the point that which is in line with the process we went through today. Having deleted clauses 11 and 12, consequential amendments must be made throughout the bill. That is, wherever the words national interest appear, they must be replaced by the words national security, depending on the relevance and the context. So, in our deliberation and consideration of the bill, we may find that where we've replaced national interest with national security, we may have to get rid of the context and find that we don't have to have the words national security. But that will depend on a clause-by-clause consideration.
Then, Honourable Lord, the Honourable Smudge had a question.
Can I go back to that now? In your paper, and it makes the world of difference when something is written down, it helps even more when it's drafted legally. Now, on your page 2, and at your point 6, you are essentially telling us what kind of information should be subject to classification, am I right? This is the same list the minister supports, am I right? And we are now talking about security. It's for clarity's sake. So, if we can agree that this is what we're talking about security issues and nothing else for classification, then does it not follow that the application clause should be drafted to comply with this? I have given you one possible draft under the application section, in which I made the bill applicable only to government departments charged with intelligence or divisions of departments dealing with security and intelligence related thereto, including foreign affairs. Because if we have an agreement or tentative agreement that all we want to classify is security-related issues, and intelligence specifically, because the Defence Force has its own system and the police have their own. Then surely, sir, we can start working on the application section, or whatever other clause you want to use to do it, because this is a statement of what areas we want to protect. It's the sources, and it is the operational methods, doctrine, facilities, personnel, structure, and then the international relations, sensitive confidence. So can we not? So do we agree that this is the burden of classification? This is all we're dealing with in this law. And can we not therefore start writing a clause that makes an application clause that limits the application of the law to these matters? Because I think there seems to be broad agreement that that is what we're doing. There are some items on the list that I have difficulties with, like the bottom one and possibly the bottom two. But let's not go to the difficulties yet.
Honourable Member, I don't know if that is a question, but I don't think it follows. I'm a logician myself, and the reason that you are following is not sound. It doesn't follow from what, if I must say so myself, but let the Honourable Lord, it doesn't follow that because this is what he said, that the matter is restricted to the intelligence community and that the application of law should be reduced to just cover that, but I don't know if that is what the Honourable Lord is. Honourable Lord, you want to answer the...
Yeah, to some extent, Chairperson, you're quite correct. It doesn't follow that. However, what we seek to do here is to meet the requirements of the Johannesburg principle. That was one of the accusations in this very committee room. It was thrown at us. Totally ignore the Johannesburg principles. And here we were looking at one another and we said, what is that? No, we know now what it is. This list is derived from the Johannesburg principles. And we've sought to address that concern.
The Honourable Appleseen.
Mr.
Chairman,
just to know where we are in the proceedings that was looking more conducive to our progress. I do have a number of questions relating to the presentation of the Honourable Standard ESC position. But I thought it certainly might be more advantageous if each of us was given an opportunity to present our respective proposals, amendments, and viewpoints. And then, with the benefit of having heard everyone, we can engage in clarifications and discussion.
Yes, Honourable Mentor and Honourable Ron.
That for me, that suggestion makes perfect sense. Because when the presentations are made one after the other, you are able to formulate a holistic picture and to engage with. So I would prefer that option that we must await the distribution and presentation of, and then we engage all the presentations together, because there could be various sections in various presentations that are talking to one another, that are either opposed or are aligned with one another.
If that is your decision, Chair, I have no problem with it. But I also don't mind addressing the points raised by Ms. Smut. Chairperson, we can't ignore the fact that international confidence do arise. International agreements across the spheres of government. Now, they are not restricted to the national level. And state organs also enter into such agreements. And once you do, you're bound by this agreement. And as part of the agreement, there may well be a clause that says, this stays between you and me. No one else has to know about it. Economic espionage targets not only the private sector, and personal individuals. Economic espionage targets government entities. And it's a serious problem that we just simply can't ignore, wish away. It's there. Chairperson, you know, way back when we sat in a meeting of the Justice Portfolio Committee, we were dealing with submissions from civil society. Richard Callan sat in that meeting. And this was his proposal to the then ANC government. All cabinet meetings must be thrown open. I mean, how would you respond to that? Of course we told him where to get off. no, but seriously, I'm not sure to this day, I don't know Richard Callan that well to know whether he was deadly serious about his proposal, Chairperson. But honestly, can you honestly believe that that is the extent to which we expect the South African government to stretch itself? You can't. There are times and places where it has to say, sorry, but this is between ourselves and the government of another country, or between this state entity and a state entity of another government. And that's just a reality. And what we seek to do here is address that.
Members, I'll get you now for a moment. Just hold on. Because I see the Honourable Vicar also has a question. The reason why I allowed the Honourable Dean Smuts to question the Honourable Member, because he first of all agreed, and also secondly because there had been a presentation yesterday, and I think the Honourable Member was justified in wanting to hear now with the new document what, and the new document is clearly more, there's more information on it, and I think it is a process that we have to go through, and we've gone through it now, and tomorrow we will hear from the Abrosini and so on. So I think there's no time wasted, and it was well, I think the Honourable Member, Honourable Smuts, is more enlightened now on a whole range of things that she perhaps did not understand before. No, but you admitted that my view, my presentation, or what I had said on the peddlers was useful. So I think that you did learn something today. Honourable Ficklin and Honourable Mesa.
Chair, to me, this exercise we are doing today may be a fruitless exercise. In that, it's just like saying you have four runners. Say, okay, run. See how you run. And then you say, no, we are weak. You have not seen the other runners running. But instead of saying that, we must get all the inputs. Yeah. And then, because we may find a situation where Honourable Smart is criticizing our input, we may find a lot of holes in her input when we come tomorrow. And we find a commonality with other inputs coming from other parties tomorrow. So that's why it's better that we get all the inputs, so that we are able to assess them all simultaneously.
Honourable members, I think let us not be scared to discuss what we must discuss. There's nothing secret about the document that the Honourable Landers has made available, and there's nothing secret about the document that the Honourable Smuts has made available yesterday. We're going to debate these documents, and if there are holes in it, we will find those holes, isn't it, so Honourable Smuts? And we will discuss those holes. So each person's time will come, and if you can't defend what you have presented, then, you know, don't be scared if you are being criticized. Can I take the process further, honourable members? It seems like we have come to an end of the proceedings today. I think what remains is merely what we are going to do tomorrow. We will be receiving the documents overnight. I take it the Honourable Abrasini is going to have a lot to say about his document tomorrow. No, please, no private meetings, please. I was also just wondering whether we should not get the drafters to look at, because there seems general concern about aligning the bill with the Protected Disclosures Act, the Companies Act, whether we couldn't in the meantime give the drafters some homework just to preliminary look at that issue, Whistleblowers Act, the Protected Disclosures Act and the Companies Act. I know the Companies Act is a bit more complicated, but it's a very well tabulated act, the tables and the index is quite well done there, so even if you just go to the index it might be useful. Perhaps if there is time tomorrow you would be able to just give us a small briefing on that. You know, how far are we from getting this alignment of the information bill with the Protected Disclosures Act? Can just look at it. It doesn't have to be a scientific approach, but there might be areas that you can see immediately. Can that be a small homework for the drafters on all them? Because I think what is going to be more important is to receive the documents from the Honourable Abrasini and the Honourable Swartz before we can take the process further and to see where we are on commonality. And I think that really might be the crux of the matter. We start finding that when we analyze these documents that there are greater areas where we agree on. Is that where we are, honourable members? Is there no further questions? There be no further questions, honourable members. This meeting stands adjourned. The meeting tomorrow will be at 9, S35. S35. That's the NCOP.
Thank you.